Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. It is I, Puma, along with Ice Water, giving you 90 minutes of the overtime version of the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. We're going to get right into it. Last week, everybody went 12-4. We all had different ways of getting there, but we all went 12-4. I have Pop's picks. My picks are in, and Black Thor has put his picks in. And so we're going to do that, and we'll pick and we'll talk about some of the teams and give you our eye test, quick eye test, while we're giving you our picks. How you doing, Ice Water?
Good, brother. Good. Yourself?
Good, man. I see we're still having our I don't know what to call it, man, on the one. We keep putting up videos and songs up. And, yeah, you putting some hot tracks up on there, man. I got to admit, you put up some hot tracks on there. And you give me a run for my money, man. We're trying to entertain the folks, man. Anything you want to say about the one? You still there, Ice Water? I just want to be in a little shy right now, so. You still there, man? I can't hear Ice Water, so. I can hear you now, vaguely. Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, I'm going to have to work something out. Keep going.
Turn your volume up.
Yeah, no, on the one, man, it's just. I'm trying to figure out why you are. You feel like it's a contest, bro. No, it's not a contest.
I know it's not. You're the big brother, man. You're the big brother, so I gotta keep up.
But you ain't got. You act like you coming for me, though. You don't need to do that, man. We just share information. You coming?
It's almost like it's like this. It's like this. You know, mama said, hey, you got to take your little brother with you. And you looking at me like, all right, you coming with me. You got to keep up. That's the way I'm looking at. That's the way I'm looking at.
All right, because I'm sitting there going like, wait a minute. You look like you trying to, you coming for me? You don't need to come. Wait, look, you my brother. We're on the same thing. You look like you coming for me a little bit. I mean, I'm just saying. Trying to figure that out. I mean, you ain't coming for me, right?
No. I'm I'm just admiring your repertoire, library of funk. Wow. Wow. That's all I got to say is wow. I just got to keep up. I thought I knew funk till I met you. All right. Let's get to these picks, bro. Last week I said we went 12-4, all of us. We're still holding on to our ranks. I'm ranked number one. Pop is number two at a 133-74 record. You got Ice Water with a 124-83 record. Black Thor at fourth place with a 123-84 record. And I'm in first place with 141 wins and 66 losses. Hopefully we can all stay under 100 losses for the year. The picking order this week is Black Thor goes first, Ice Water goes second, Pop third, and I come in last. So I get to watch everybody else's pick. As customary, mm-hmm. the person goes last and kind of figure out how I'm going to maneuver. All right. First game on tap is Thursday, and Lamar Jackson said he's playing. I don't know if the coach is going to say anything else different. It's the New York Jets versus the Baltimore Ravens. Black Thor picked Baltimore. Ice Water, who you got?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear now.
All right, cool, because I know I didn't get the chance to say what I wanted to say about the one, but I'll say that for my last parting shot. Anyway, I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Put it in at any time, bro. Put it in at any time.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I got my technical difficulties together now, but I'm going to go with Baltimore.
All right. Saw what Baltimore did last week. Pop picked Baltimore, and it's Baltimore across the board. Lamar Jackson, do you get the sense that other teams are trying to hurt Lamar Jackson because they can't catch him?
I don't know about hurting. I think when somebody is young and they're kind of new, he's not so much new, but they're the first time they're really getting a chance to see him, then they might be trying some different things. What I find ironic is the irrepressible madness of a certain young man talking about because he had black sleeves on and black clothing on and dark skin is the reason why they could not see the ball. Come on, man. And what does he do? He wears white sleeves. He wears white sleeves and white gloves.
In case you don't believe.
Can you see me now? I look like Casper.
Is it live or is it memorable? Man, the racism has no bounds, bro. It has no bounds. New England versus Cincinnati. Black is going with New England. New England has taken it on the chin with Kansas City, Baltimore, and Houston. Three young quarterbacks under the age of 25 and mobile quarterbacks. And dare I say it, black quarterbacks. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, I'm going to let some people marinate on that a little bit. I'm going to have to say that again. I'm going to go with New England. Unfortunately, the Bengals, they looked decent versus Cleveland, but they had opportunities to, I think, even win a game or be more competitive, and they couldn't get it done even when Andy Dalton was back at the helm at quarterback. But I think as ugly as it may be, the Patriots are not that bad to lose to the Bengals, so I'm going to go with the Bengals. I mean, the Patriots, not the Bengals. The Patriots.
I have a pin. Damn. I have a pin out.
I know you did.
I'm going with New England. I'm like, what? Pop is going with New England. Usually when New England has a controversy brewing, that helps them focus a little bit more. So they'll be focused and ready to go, and they'll take it out on the Bengals this weekend in the Nasty Natty. So it's New England across the board. We got Tampa Bay and Detroit coming up next.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah. Black Thor is going with Tampa Bay. Ice Water, who you got?
That's in Detroit. Is the quarterback still out?
Doesn't matter. I don't even know but does it really matter with Detroit?
No, it doesn't. But you know what? He got me last week, you son of a gun. Damn it, I'm going to roll with you, Famous Damus. Let's go. Let's go! Because I told you before, Famous Damus is good for 3 interceptions, 4 touchdowns, and 300 yards passing. Write that down. That's what he does.
You picked Indianapolis last week, and I was like, okay. But
they should have won it.
This is what he did.
They should have won.
Yeah, this is what he. This is what Pop picked Tampa Bay. This is what Jameis does. He does this. He did it at Florida State. He would get himself in the jam, and then he'll throw his way out of it. And so he seems to be carrying that over to the NFL. But I'm picking Detroit. I'm not picking Detroit. You need a quarterback. There's a quarterback out there that can help your team win. But you keep getting guys that are, you know, high school football coaches that haven't played in 5 or 6 years, picking up people, you know, off the street to try to, you know, quarterback your professional football team. And there's a quarterback that can come out there and do it. So I don't feel sorry for you. You know, you nobody in Detroit really likes you. You know, a few people in Detroit like you. And my boy who is from Detroit, he always tells me, do not pick Detroit. They don't even consider – he doesn't even consider Detroit having a football team in the NFL. That's how bad they hate Detroit. So I got to go with Tampa Bay.
It's a few people, though, few people that do go to the games, though. Few people still tell me.
Yeah, Garrett Bean. Our buddy Garrett Bean.
Yeah.
Bean still goes.
Stacy.
Yeah.
Gary Bean. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, those are diehards. But the most of the folks I talk to there, other than those two, they're Detroit's not even a team to them.
Okay.
I've been hearing all week about how great Trubisky is. Next game on tap is Chicago's going up to Lambeau to play the Green Bay Packers. Black is going with the Green Bay. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, I'm not buying into that, even though they crushed the Cowboys, and Trubisky looked like he was trying to win the Heisman. Even though I never saw the game. I'm going with Green Bay at home.
Yeah, Pop is going with Green Bay. Like I said on the first 40, Pop never calls me during a Dallas Cowboy game. The man is focused. I would have to say you and my Pop are the most realistic Dallas Cowboy fans that I talk to, because you will admit when they're not good. You will gloat when they're I won't say gloat, but you'll put on the Dallas Cowboy kind of star on when they're doing really well. My dad talked to me from the second half on and 3 hours after the game. We stayed on the phone. We wanted to hear what Jerry had to say after the Bears beat the Cowboys. We wanted to sit there together and watch it. And my father had me cracking up so much. He was so pissed at the Dallas Cowboys and the way they were playing. He's like, I've never seen them play this way before. He was sure that they were playing to get the coach fired that night. And I was surprised that Garrett was still the coach after that game, after the way they played. Pop is going with Green Bay. I'm going with Green Bay. What are your thoughts about the reaction of the game? Now, I know you said during the first 40, you saw the score and you're like, I don't even want to see the game. But what was your reaction about what happened after the game with the Dallas Cowboys? What are they saying? Why, you know, at this particular point, it's like you're going in with a bad record and you're going to win the division and kind of back your way to the playoffs. But Philly might get in. And that's what my Pop said earlier today, that he thinks Philly's going to get in and that the Cowboys aren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Philadelphia doesn't seem like they want to win either. I mean, they won that game barely against the Giants. But they had to play Dallas again. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. And I think they have a more difficult schedule than Dallas does. I don't know. I mean, I think Jerry is going about it the right way. He's going about it the only way he can go about it is he doesn't want to get rid of Jerry just now. You can't afford to. You have a few more games left in the season. So you had to say we're trying to right the ship and trying to get guys to play harder. I mean, what else can you say? Can you say he's horrible? I'm going to get rid of his behind next at the end of the year? You can't say that because you never know. You really are trying to make the playoffs. Can they right the ship? I don't think so. I think it's a wrap. They're playing like doo-doo. Offense coordinator. It's a lot of things involved. But I don't think Jerry Jones has any choice but to keep saying, yeah, I believe in my coach, and I think we can turn it around. What you going to say, no? That's you just don't do that. So anyway, I come to reality that I think that they're not that good. I know it, and they're good. That's all right.
What's going on with them? Because I sat there at the beginning of the season, and I'm asking the Dallas Cowboy fan. You follow the Cowboys. What what happened to them? Because I said at the beginning of the season, I thought the Cowboys could go far. I mean, they had, if they can get Elliott in, that they can go real far. They had the defense. They had some tools on offense. I thought that Dak Prescott was on the verge of having one of the best seasons of his career. What happened, man?
I'll say this. I think there are a couple things that they thought, a couple players, a couple things they thought were going to allow them to be stronger offensively. I think they had some issues defensively because of some injuries, and then they just kind of got lax near the end when they became predictable. But offensively, everybody had these wild ambitions and dreams for Dak Prescott. And Amari Cooper, when healthy, has been pretty good, decent. But they picked up Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb has not been anywhere near what they thought he was going to be. Okay? Talk about that. They thought that bringing back the center would help him. Witten is, he's an older gentleman. He's past his prime. And then after that, they tried to go out and find some, was it Gallup? Gallup. That's doing pretty decent, mm-hmm. but he's up and on. I think what they had to do, they started to make Dak Prescott the focus of the offense, where he's going to throw the ball. Supposedly he had all these weapons, and the weapons are either letting him down or he's not getting the ball to the weapons. So you had even a guy like Devin Smith, when other people were hurt, former Buckeye, came in and made some plays. They're having that chemistry, and they're trying to throw the ball and put it out there with Dak. And he threw for, 444 yards and won in a game where he won or lost.
Yeah.
But it clearly states to me that he cannot be the total focus. He's not the leader of the offense. If you do not include Ezekiel Elliott in the passing game and in the running game, along with a strong offensive line, there's not much Dak Prescott can do. I get that. I mean, at times he shows, wow, he's amazing. But if you don't include Ezekiel Elliott in the passing and the running game, and they tried to spread themselves too thin, because they ended up with the backup running back. Pollard was getting a lot of run, taking Zeke's carries. I mean, that was great early on when you weren't playing anybody. But when you play against quality opponents, you got to let your best. Zeke's the playmaker. Find a way to get him the damn ball. That's what you do. I mean, you if he gets hurt, he gets hurt, but you got to ride him. They're playing it like the Rams did with Todd Gurley. Give him the damn ball.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just me.
All right. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Houston versus Tennessee. Black is going with Tennessee in this game. Who you got, Ice?
Wow, this is tough, man. You said Houston at Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to have to go with I'm going to go with Tennessee, too.
Oh, wow.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee.
All right. Pop is going with Tennessee, like father. I mean, he's going with Houston. Like father, like son, I'm going with Houston, too. I think that Houston has to bounce back from that defeat with Denver. I didn't see that coming with Denver. Denver, the cup is a bear. How do you lose that game? So they got to bounce back. They got to bounce back. Speaking of Denver, Denver is going to Kansas City to play, and Black is picking Kansas City. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Kansas City has been struggling. I think some people are hurt, or they just didn't look well the last game. I'm expecting more. Something's missing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if Mahomes is not doing this thing or they're playing against some better defenses. But I think they'll handle this easily versus Denver.
Okay. It's Kansas City across the board. Pop is picking Kansas City. I'm picking Kansas City. This is a rivalry game. Sorry what happened to Mahomes' girlfriend. She had to be put in a special place in the stadium playing against New England. Man, they're just getting bad rap all over the place. Cheating with videotaping the team, and then harassing the opposing quarterback's girlfriend during the game. Hey, this is why you got that reputation, Boston. Cleaned up up there. But it's Kansas City. They got to make hay to put themselves in a good position in the playoffs, because if I'm Kansas City, I don't want to go back to New England to play in Foxborough. They cheat. Next game to be played is Miami versus the Giants. Black is going with the New York Giants, the G-men. Who you got, Ice?
Man, I want to choose Miami so bad, but I have not seen Fitzmagic. And I think they lost their wide receiver, top wide receiver, so it's hard to figure that out on the road. Eli's quarterbacking again this week, I think.
I hope not.
Well, he's tried, but they got him a little spark. Anyway, I'm going to go with the Giants at home.
Yeah, Pop is going with the Giants, surprise, at home. I'm going to go with the Giants one more time. Please put Jones back in. Please. So it's Giants. Everybody got the Giants in that game. Next game on tap is Philly versus Washington. And Black is going with Philly. Who you got, Ice?
Mr. Haskins trying to get it done in Washington. I'll see you, Buckeye. But I think Philadelphia is really in a very difficult position, and they have enough. Unfortunately, Washington will make they'll make enough mistakes like Jameis Winston to cause their demise. So I'm going to go with Philadelphia on the road.
All right. Pop and I picked Philly also, so it's Philly across the board. Next game on tap is Seattle versus Carolina Panthers. Black is going with Seattle. And Seattle took a tough loss with the Rams last week. Rams look like they want to get back into playoff contention. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, when you experience what the Rams did to Seattle, that's not going to sit well with Russell Wilson. The ironic thing here is Carolina defense at times has been known to really be able to sack the quarterback quite well. They might get Russell a couple times, but he's going to come out with a vengeance. And Carolina's lost the mojo with McCaffrey for some reason or another. But I'm going to choose Seattle on the road.
All right. Pop is going with Seattle on the road also. I'm going with Seattle on the road. Next game on tap is the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Oakland Raiders. Black is going with the Oakland Raiders at home. And Ice, who you got?
Yeah, he didn't choose Jacksonville this week, I see.
Yeah, I was expecting Jacksonville when I saw the text.
You got to really miss you trying to get there, and Fournette has really just kind of fell off. Oakland has been ugly, a Jekyll and Hyde type of team. Has been ugly at times, but I think at home, especially at 3 o'clock, 3:05, whatever it is, I think they'll do enough to win. 4 o'clock, they'll win. So Oakland at home.
All right. Pop is picking Oakland at home. Everybody's taking the home team on this one. I got Oakland at home. Cleveland versus Arizona. Black is going with Cleveland. Who you got, man?
I want so bad to choose Arizona. I swear I do. I so bad want to choose them. I do. Because I think they can beat Cleveland. But the problem is, unfortunately, they make bad decisions down the line. I watched the last three games. And watch my luck, they'll beat Cleveland. But I can't afford to take that risk. So I want to choose Cleveland on the road.
Okay. Pop is choosing Cleveland. I can take a risk. I'm going to choose Arizona to beat them at home.
Yeah, well,
I'm taking the home team.
Well, you up 9 games. I guess I'll choose Arizona. See what happens. Really? You make my stomach hurt.
Yeah, I saw Arizona get Raven to try to make that comeback against Pittsburgh. But, yeah, they do make some bonehead mistakes, and hopefully they'll start learning as the quarterback grows. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Arizona with this one over Cleveland. I just don't think. Now they're saying that OBJ is hurt, and they're trying to defend him. And Cleveland's just a mess. If a team is ever cursed, I would think it was Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns. Next game on tap is Minnesota versus the Los Angeles Chargers. And Black, I guess he's going with Minnesota. He doesn't think it's going to be a bad Kirk Cousins game, so he's going with Minnesota. Who you got, Ike?
Yeah, I guess the one-wing soldier – showed up for the Chargers. You know, Phillip Rivers. Yes, he showed up. But I don't believe it again this week. I think that the Vikings know that if they're going to make some noise, they have to win this game because if they're getting ready for the playoffs, they need to go in and clear out the mess, and I think they will win this game. Minnesota.
All right. Pop is going with Minnesota also. I choose Minnesota. Rivers is I don't know how to explain what that situation is with the Chargers. I know we talked weeks ago about the team moving to Europe, and I think both of you said they should send the Chargers, and I agree with both of you. They should send them because I don't think too many people are going to go out and see the Chargers in L.A.
Can I say one thing about that?
Sure.
The Chargers owner came out and said, we ain't going no damn where.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He heard that.
He may not have a choice.
We ain't going no damn where. We're going to L.A. We're going to be in L.A. I was like, okay, you're going to lose millions of dollars. Good luck with that one. Wow.
Yeah, you may not have a choice because I can't see the fans out in L.A., they go to see winners. They don't go see people and teams that are struggling. They just don't. There's so many things to do in L.A. Why go see a losing team? Next game on tap, the other team in L.A., the L.A. Rams versus the Dallas Cowboys. Black Thor is going with the L.A. Rams. All right, so you got? Show your allegiance.
Man, this is – oh, my God.
Show your allegiance.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to show my allegiance. Show allegiance to my one-game lead. I'm going with the Rams. I'm going with the Rams because, I mean, they have not shown me anything. I cannot trust them. I can't trust them. And unfortunately, when you can't trust somebody or some team, you can't pick them. Even if I lose, I can't trust them. So, like P.E. say, can't trust it. So I'm going with the Rams.
Man, I'm laughing at my pop because as bad as he talked about Dallas last week on the phone with me for 3 hours, he's picking the Cowboys to win this game.
Hey, good luck with that one.
As bad as he talked about him, he's going to pick.
Look, he got a little room too, so he can do that too. I can't, hell no. Can't afford no mistakes now, bro.
Oh, wow. I'm going with the L.A. Rams. The Rams look like they want to get in the playoffs, and if they can take out Dallas, that will help them, their percentages get in the playoffs. They have fell off, and they finally figured out a way to get the ball to Gurley and to get that offense going. The Gurley and Woods show last week, that was very impressive. They still look like the old Rams. It seems like the coach has a little bit more tricks, but hopefully they can get by Dallas in Dallas. Next game on tap is Atlanta versus San Francisco. Black is going with San Francisco. Who you got, Black? I mean, Ice.
No doubt, San Francisco. That's easy because Atlanta, nope, not on the road, San Francisco.
Okay. Pop is going with San Francisco also, and I'm going with San Francisco. This is going to be a really good game on Sunday night. Buffalo versus Pittsburgh. Black is going with Pittsburgh. Who you got?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot because Pittsburgh played some ugly-ass football about the last four games. I'm not going to lie to you. I know they won. They play ugly football. It's hard for me to watch them. I know everybody excited, telling how great Tomlin has done. That is some ugly-ass football they play, especially.
Hey, sometimes you got to make it ugly to make it work.
But just laying down. But I think they're going to come. They'll find another way to win this ugly game. So I'm going to choose Pittsburgh at home.
All right. Pop is going with Pittsburgh at home. I am going with Pittsburgh at home. So we got the home team. Last game on the schedule is Indianapolis versus New Orleans. Black took New Orleans. You going to go with Indianapolis and your boy again?
Nah, they shouldn't. You can't win at home. Hell, how can I mean, what? I can't pick doing the road against New Orleans. New Orleans is really – I mean, they both these teams lost in devastating fashion last week. But I think New Orleans knows they cannot afford to slip up against a team like the Colts, who's struggling. T.Y. Hilton and stuff like that. So I think they're going to be hurting. But New Orleans has to get back on point with a win. So I'm going with New Orleans at home.
All right. Pop is going with New Orleans at home, and I'm going with New Orleans too. That wraps up our picks for this week. Had a pretty good showing last week. Ice had to remind me to put the picks up because I forgot trying to get the video straight. No, I still can't put the video up on. I can't figure it out, so I'm going to have to send all the stuff to you, Ice. But we'll post the picks. I promise you we'll post the picks up on our the Goon Squad Sports Radio page on Facebook and Twitter. We're going to take a quick break. And what are we going to talk about? We could talk about the Russians. We could talk about NCAA basketball. We could talk about NBA. You got the Bulls just really handing it to Atlanta in the third quarter. We could talk about that. Or we could talk about the Joshua Ruiz fight. We got a lot of things to talk about. And we'll come back. We'll take a break right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
NCAA football.
Okay. So we have the Final Four in NCAA football. We have the LSU Tigers, the Ohio State Buckeyes, the Clemson Tigers, and we talked about it, and I said, wow, it would be great to see Oklahoma in that fourth spot, and they did what they needed to do to get it done. I want to see Jalen Hurts. I thought, to be quite honest with you, I thought that when Jalen Hurts played in that game that they lost and he threw that interception, that his Heisman Trophy hopes would be over. I guess they're going to give him another chance to showcase that and see if he can gain some votes in the playoffs. Well, he won't be able to get to gain some votes in the playoffs, but the way he played against Baylor, I think he did really well. He has turned that team around. This is the third quarterback for Oklahoma to be mentioned in the Heisman Trophy race. You had Kyler Murray, who won it last year. You had your boy, Faker Mayfield, who won it year before. And now you have Jalen Hurts. But give me your eye test and give me your thoughts about these matchups, because I think, to me, we said it on the first 40, I think the Ohio State-Clemson matchup is the championship, to be quite honest with you. And no disrespect to the LSU and Oklahoma teams, but I think that's going to be the game that decides the champion, whoever they play. But that, to me, is the championship game.
Yeah, no doubt. I think when you saw what was going on, you saw how Clemson easily handled their business in their championship game. Ohio State struggled. They were the last to be seen. Oklahoma got the job done. LSU dominated, and then they went forward with making the rankings. I think that the committee and along with the media and a lot of the fans in America, the Joe Burrow story is a great feel-good story. It makes everybody feel warm and fuzzy. How he was kind of discarded from Columbus, as I mentioned earlier, in the 40, and he's now leading these troops. I do think he'll win the Heisman. I will say this. This might be an opportunity that always happens. Not always, but often happens this way. The guy that wins the Heisman, his team is not the one that usually wins the tight championship. Write that down.
Right.
Write that down. And I remember, you know, when you look at that and seeing, like, certain people being frustrated. But Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts has been there. LSU has not been on the main stage. They're playing the one hell of a year. But it'll be very difficult, I think. It's not going to be an easy game. Like I said, there are a lot of factors earlier. Lincoln Riley calling the plays for Oklahoma. Oklahoma has some tough players. You have Mr. Young Stingley in the secondary going up against against the top running back, top wide receiver for Oklahoma. And I think it's going to be open. I think it's going to be a wide open game. I think they're going to both come at one another, and it's going to be like almost watching Oklahoma versus Baylor. Who can win? Mm. And the one thing that the difference here, though, is I know LSU has won, and they beat Alabama with a beat-up Tua and all, but I'm just going to say this. Jalen Hurts has been there. He knows what it's like to win. He finds ways to make things happen, and I think it's going to be a shootout. Unless LSU defense shows up, and I'm not sure. But, again, on the other hand, as we said, I think Ohio State versus Clemson is going to be for the championship. I do. And I know people want Joe Burrow to make it, but I think Clemson would give them the business. And I think Ohio State would definitely give LSU a run for their money as well. But we will only know until that comes down to it. But I just don't want people to sleep on Oklahoma. I've watched them a few times, and everybody wants Joe Burrow to do well, and that's great. But now it comes down to, as they say, it comes down to the nitty-gritty. Because now it's the big stage. It's no longer the conference championships. It's not those games where you're electrifying people on other Saturdays. Nobody knows who the hell you're playing. This is the stage. And if you want to be the number one pick, if you want to be that guy and you win the Heisman, time for Joe Burrow to step up and show us that he's the truth.
Yeah, we mentioned it in the first 40 that the only thing that concerns me about Oklahoma is their defense. And so the question will be, and what I'll be looking for in the game against LSU is, can Oklahoma's defense stand up to the offense of LSU? LSU can put up some points. These top three teams, you got LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson, they are known to put up points. Oklahoma is known for putting up points, but the first three teams have defenses to stop you from scoring as many points as they have and could beat you by 30 if they want to easily. So can Oklahoma, that defense, keep up with the defenses of the other teams to stop the other offense from making them look really bad? Because if you can't hold these three teams, any of these teams on offense, you're going to get blown out. You're going to get blown out by Ohio State or LSU or Clemson. You're going to get blown out. So that's the only concern I have with Oklahoma. I believe in them offensively. With Jalen Hurts, he has willed that team into this position. This is where he wanted to be at the end of the year. And I think in his heart of hearts, he probably wanted to play Alabama to prove that, hey, I'm better. But Alabama's not there. That's not his fault. He wants to be in the mix, and he wants to show folks that, you know, Alabama's not there, but the only player that Alabama didn't believe in is there, and he wants to show out. But he doesn't play defense. He plays offense. So can he keep up with these offenses when that defense can't hold on and hold these offenses back? That's going to be the question with Oklahoma. I'm glad they're in there. I wanted to see Jalen Hurts in the playoffs. But this is going to be interesting. And like I said earlier, I think Ohio State-Clemson is the championship game. If they didn't have this playoff system, this would be the game that I would watch over LSU. And I'm a closet fan of LSU. This would be the game I would watch rather than LSU and Oklahoma. Even though Oklahoma and LSU will be entertaining, this is going to be a bang-out, drag-out, heavyweight fight with Ohio State and Clemson. I'm looking forward to that game. Any other things that you want to say? Because it's going to be a scarce week in college football. I told you last week, you should have watched college football last week because now you got to watch Army-Navy games, and that'll put you to sleep. But any other eye test on NCAA football?
Well, I think just saying that the preparation, this week off, and the preparation is going to be amazing. You're going to see a lot of great stories, a lot of great matchups. But when I was looking at the bowl games, one of the games I do want to, I'm interested in, is just because Alabama versus Michigan. Yeah. That's a hell of a matchup. Yeah, just to kind of see who's where, even though Tua will not be available. But Nick Saban versus Jim Harbaugh still makes for good. I think it'll be great, entertaining game for the fans. So I want to see what happens, how that falls out, how that plays out.
All right. Let's go to the NBA real quick, or should we go to boxing next? NBA or boxing? I'll give you a choice. Because I know you watched
NBA,
that fight.
Man.
I didn't get to watch it yet.
I know you did. I know you did. So, yeah.
I didn't. You know what? Yeah, I didn't watch it, and I was at a fundraiser, doing some work at a fundraiser, and I couldn't watch it. But you and my boy Ed were giving me the, I know Ed was giving me the blow by blow, and he's like, "Hey man, you know Ruiz is just getting out jabbed and out pointed," and your boy Joshua didn't want to feel that knockout power. That's what I heard. I haven't seen it yet. That's what I heard. But the NBA, we talked a little bit about this on the first 40. Milwaukee's on the tear. They won their last 16 games. I got to check what they're doing tonight. I'm sitting here watching some of the Bulls. The Toronto Clippers game is over. Toronto won by 20. I mean, the Clippers won by 20 there. But I'm looking at the Atlanta and Chicago game right now. You got Trae Young with 12 assists. You have Zach LaVine with 33 points. 4 assists. Wendell Carter got 10 rebounds. He's clearing the glass. And Jabari Parker coming back, him playing in Atlanta, got 7 rebounds, but he don't play any defense. And you got Alex Len from Atlanta with 16 points. And the Bulls are up by 21 points in the third quarter, 98-77. I'll give you some more scores as we go on. But as we talked about in the first 40, you got Milwaukee, Boston, and Miami. Got to give kudos to Jimmy Butler coming up with triple-doubles. He's playing hard, willing that team to win in Miami. Philly's a little bit disappointing. They're in that fourth spot in the Eastern Conference, followed by Toronto. They took a loss tonight. And Indiana, Brooklyn, and Orlando. Derrick Rose playing real tough for Detroit. So they don't have a really good record, but he's playing real tough. In the Western Conference, you got L.A. leading. Clippers just got a win. So they're four games back of the L.A. Lakers. You have Dallas, you have Houston, Denver, Utah, OKC, and Phoenix. Those are the top teams in the West. And I know you said in the first 40 you're disappointed in the San Antonio Spurs. I'm a little disappointed with the Portland Trail Blazers, even though they're 5-5 in the last 10. They got the third score. Let's go, man. And Minnesota. Minnesota is a big disappointment to me. They came out really hot, and now they cooled down three and seven in their last 10. But Sacramento is at a 10-13 record also. It's still early, but what is your eye test on the NBA, man?
Yeah, I'm about to jump on something. I didn't get a chance to talk about it in the first 40, but I am. I know you are enamored with those Milwaukee Bucks, but I think they lost too many players, and I think that's going to come back to haunt them. And it's always great right now with the Greek Freak, Giannis coming back and doing his thing, but you need more than one or two guys, and I think that's going to hurt them. I'm looking at the scores tonight where Indiana defeated Boston 122-117. Malcolm Brogdon had 29. He had four of the starters were in double figures, and then ended off the Holiday brothers, Jay Holiday and A Holiday, 17 and 18, respectfully. And for Boston, just to let you know, it wasn't a joke. Kemba Walker had 44. 44. They took an L. Tatum had 16, and Jay Brown had 18. And that's without Oladipo. Somebody in trouble. That's without Oladipo. Brogdon literally has taken over as the scorer for this team. Sabonis is really playing. I'm glad they didn't make that trade. T.J. Warren from Phoenix is really playing some strong ball, too. And he's been very, very complimentary of a lot of these guys. And I'm telling you, when they bring back Oladipo, if they can get that chemistry, you do not want to play Indiana. I'm just telling you that. I would not want to see them in the postseason. I might even drive to Indiana and go watch them a couple times.
Okay. So my thing is, when like a player comes back that the team's been waiting for, will that mess the chemistry up for Indiana a little bit when he comes back and folks have to kind of switch roles a little bit because of that big star coming back?
Well, I think it's on the coach, but I also think it's on the players. You look at this, Brogdon has not really been the man. He's always been like a secondary guy, of course, to the Greek Freak. I think he can slide and play any role. He's just doing this now because they need him. And I think he's intelligent enough to play that role. Sabonis is going to be a complimentary player. T.J. Warren has been a complimentary player. And I think it has a lot to do with the coach. You have Nate McMillan over in Indianapolis, in Indiana. So I think they'll work it out. Because I don't think you just want to put – here's the thing. What I think Nate – most times it might be a problem, but I think Nate McMillan wants to have more of a diverse team. So if Oladipo has to go for 35 one night, yeah, we don't need you to score 35 every night, especially with Brogdon on the team and other guys that can score. So they want to make it where the hot hand is able to move forward. And it's still Oladipo's team, but the way that you're going to win, you have to realize, and I think I told you we do a podcast, I talked to Jim Clemens, and he dropped some knowledge on me saying that you have to have chemistry and put people in the right places where they can evolve. And one of the other things I asked him about, he said, it's not coaching, it's teaching, that the players that want to be great have to allow you to teach them what they need to know to win. When you think about basketball, that's amazing. He said, because if players don't buy in, you can't teach them anything. Something to think about when you watch basketball the next time. He schooled me. I was like, thank you, Mr. Clemens.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff right there. Let's switch to NCAA basketball. I know we talked about that earlier. I'm sitting here watching the game now with Michigan and Illinois in the first quarter. Illinois is up by 2 on Michigan, 34 seconds left to halftime. And they're both shooting pretty much at about 45-46%. Illinois is pounding the boards with 22 rebounds versus 13 against Michigan. What happened to Michigan, man? I know we're going to talk about some teams in the top 25, but Michigan was riding high. They beat Gonzaga and North Carolina in I guess a day away from each other, and they were not ranked, and they shot up to number 4. They hit a speed bump with DeVille, and then DeVille hit a speed bump in their game. So what happened, before we go to DeVille, what happened to Michigan? Because it seems like they're slowing down a little bit after beating some big-time teams earlier in the season in these early tournaments.
Well, that's part of being a great team. There's a lot of firsts. It's Juwan Howard's really first time being on that college level like that, really learning this team. And early on, they're showing you what the type of talent that they have. But the key to winning in any sport is trying to be consistent. It's hard to do. So I think that is just them taking their lumps because it's like, man, we're exhausted. We beat these two top-notch teams. Now we got to come back and play Louisville again? And it just goes on and on. And now they're finding out that, I mean, there's a lot of parity in regards to the talent. Maybe not as far as the competition overall, but the parity is the level of talent. And with Juwan Howard coming in, everybody's going to give them their best shot. You just mentioned about Illinois. Illinois is a good team. So you won your two early games, which would be impressive for the tournament. But the question is, can you be consistent the rest of the way in the Big Ten? That's what happened. You know, there's a lot of things going on. You got, like you said, Penn State. I was not bad. Michigan State, of course. There's a lot going on. So in Ohio State, so Indiana, there's a lot going on. So it can happen. They're a very new team. They're a young team in regards to Juwan Howard. So I think he's done some great things early on. But, you know, this is a marathon, not a sprint, bro.
Right. So
they don't get
championships
for winning two games.
No, they don't. They don't. You mentioned Louisville lost to Texas Tech, which is they're a really tough defensive team, 70-57 this week. And then you had Kansas who won easily against Milwaukee. They're ranked number two. They'll probably be ranked number one later this week, 95-68. The Buckeyes play, they're number three. They play Minnesota on Sunday. That's going to be a tough game. And then you have Maryland. Maryland was coming, and Maryland got dropped by Penn State, 76-69 at Penn State. And then you got the Michigan tonight playing Illinois, and they're struggling a little bit at Illinois. So the top five teams are really fighting their way to stay in the top five. And we mentioned on the first 40 that, you know, North Carolina and Michigan State, they're 16-17. They were in the top five, it seemed like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And North Carolina, to me, I ran my mouth and said this could be the team. But when you shut down Cole Anthony, they don't have any offense to really kind of to speak of to get them over the hump when they shut down their main guy and their point guard, Cole Anthony. And Michigan State, it just seems like, I don't know, it's like people know what Izzo is going to do. They pretty much know what Michigan State has, and they're coming after them real hard. But the thing that I noticed about Michigan State is that folks are going after Cassius Winston at Michigan State, the All-American point guard there, and really kind of tying him up and making him make plays and making it very tough for him to make plays because if he doesn't go, Michigan State doesn't go.
No doubt. I agree with that 100%. Again, it comes back to I think there's a lot of equal talent across the board and on a lot of these teams. And you don't have the luster. You might have a few guys that you go, oh, wow, he's really good. But you don't have the luster of that star quality. We couldn't say anything. We couldn't say two words about college basketball before you included the name Zion, correct?
Right.
I mean, last year, that's what it was. But now it's like, okay, you might say some names as a bookie, but you won't say them in the same breath that you said of Zion. But it just shows you that the teams overall, I think, are better equipped. I think they are. I think they're better equipped overall and not just having one or two guys. Cause that's what it was last year for Duke. One or I even go three. But there are teams. Louisville's a team. Ohio State's a team. Maryland's a team. Maryland loses to Penn State. Think about that. Penn State gets blown out by Ohio State in Columbus.
Right.
They come right back and handle Maryland. That's competition. You look at Duke. Mm-hmm. Duke lost, and they came back. Kentucky, Virginia lost, came back, took a horrible loss, came back. You even have teams like Arizona making runs. This is I love this because it's not about one or two guys and that's all you hear on TV is about this guy. There's two guys the whole time, and they lose the championship. I love it because there's more parity, and you have to earn it. Whoever wins this is going to have to earn it. There's a lot of teams that nobody's looking at. You look at the number 18 team in the country. Butler is undefeated. They're 9-0.
Right.
Nobody's talking about Butler. Nobody's talking about Tennessee, who's 7-1. They're not talking. Nobody's talking about Xavier. Xavier's 9-1. There are some very good teams. So every night, you better bring your lunch pail. And there's no disrespect to Michigan. They had a long way to go. Like I said, and I'm incorrect because they did receive a championship trophy in the Bahamas, but that's not the NCAA trophy. So, but I think it's great for the sport. I love the competition. I'm gonna watch a lot more games and. Ladies and gentlemen, I think everyone that loves March Madness is in for a treat.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Let's take a break and come back and talk some boxing. You had Joshua Ruiz. You can tell me about that one. And then you got Crawford. He has a fight coming up this weekend. We'll take a break right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio. Back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. It is I, Puma, along with Ice Water. We're going to be talking about some boxing. And, man, it wasn't a lot of fanfare after this fight. I haven't even seen any highlights. I got to go on YouTube and actually watch the fight. But I was working Saturday night, and I didn't get a chance to see the fight, but I was informed by you and my boy Eddie, who said that, you know, Joshua won on points and he was trying to stay away from Ruiz. I think you texted me one time, like, Ruiz has a real big punch, and I thought something happened. They were saying, Ruiz was saying he was out of shape. I guess he let the fame and limelight get to him. I saw that he weighed 283 pounds. Coming into the fight, and that just shows me that he didn't work out at all. So what happened, bro?
Well, he fell into the limelight of being a champion, and that's easy to do when you win a championship in boxing, particularly the heavyweight championship. For a guy like that, it changed his life. And people want to give you a lot when you win, particularly in the fashion that he won. Now, Buster Douglas won when he upset Mike Tyson. He was a king of the world. He was on top of the world. He could go on any show, get anything from different people because everybody wanted to see the champ that beat the bully. So with Ruiz, he won in stunning fashion. And coming back, though, I think he was out of shape, and he was unable to go after Joshua the way that he wanted to. And Joshua went and became a boxer. He started to push out and started to bang him a little bit. Usually had a sharp jab, and that was great. But he never really wanted to engage with Ruiz. He just didn't, and he knew better because Ruiz was swinging for the fences, and he hit him a couple times, and it was like, But hey, give Joshua his credit where it's due. He learned. He knew he needed to get his titles back, and he found a way to get it done. It wasn't pretty. I mean, from the standpoint of what people are looking for. And now he's a champion again, so everybody wanted to make him lineal champion and the great all this and that. And he was just average, in my opinion. So now they want to put him back up top. Okay, again, here we go. And we're going to have that discussion, too, because I saw what you said on Facebook.
Okay,
I'm just I'm going to bring that out.
Yeah,
we're going to have
that on Facebook.
You're going to bring that out on purpose. Yeah, I know you did.
Yeah, so, let me get out what I'm looking for, what I put out on Facebook. It compared Joe Louis to the Bronze Bomber, and it said that the Bronze Bomber only fought like two people in the top 10. And me and Ice have always had this kind of debate on whether or not, Wilder should be considered pound for pound, you know, the top guy. And I always said no, And but when I ran across this statistic, I was like, let's see what Ice says about this. And so you had a lot to say on Facebook. Go to Facebook, Goon Squad Sports Radio page, find the response. And Joe Lewis had, I think he fought over 10 folks that were in the top 10, for a championship. So, he's pound for pound, one of the greatest heavyweights to ever live. So do you put Wilder in there? I think it was more than 10. So I just put it up there. I said, I put it on the post. I said, I'm just going to leave this here. I didn't call you out. I didn't say anything. I just said, I'm going to leave this here. That's all I did.
And you know what you were doing. You know you like, look, like putting a piece of meat in front of a rabid dog. You know exactly what you were doing.
But who's next? Before we get into that, who's next for Joshua?
That's the key. Who is he going to fight? I mean, you can fight Dylan
White.
Because he got to
fight. I would say he has to fight after the February fight. He has to fight either Wilder or Fury, the one who wins that. Let's just get this going.
But that's the point. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't want that. He's the champion, so he thinks he's on top of the world again. You got humiliated in the United States on your first try. Now all of a sudden you're the man again over a guy that nobody ever thought you should have lost to in the first place. And then the way that you beat him the second time was – it wasn't the way you fought Klitschko. You became more of a boxer. So now you can fight Dylan White, who was overweight in his last fight, and now he's going to be a contender. So that's number four. Number six is Joseph Parker. He doesn't want that. He damn sure don't want to see Luis Ortiz at seven. Povetkin, maybe. But my point is that all of them guys I mentioned about that, Deontay Wilder has fought Fury, and he fought Ortiz twice, both in the top 10. The rest of them don't
okay.
want it.
The
rest of them don't want it.
The stat I put up on Facebook, the stat I put up is the number of knockout victories against top 10 rated contenders. Deontay Wilder has 2, and Joe Luz has 27.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was staggering to me when I saw that. I'm like, wow. So when Deontay Wilder says, hey, the heavyweight division is back, I'm like, nah, bro, not yet. Not until you start putting numbers up like this.
I got a problem with what you just said. This is just me.
Okay.
The man can only fight who they put in front of him. The only guy, he fought Tyson Fury, okay? It was a draw or he lost, whatever you want to say. He fought Ortiz, who's in the top 10. He knocked him out twice. The other guys don't want to see him. Ruiz would fight him now because he doesn't have anywhere else to go. Fury said yes. Dylan White doesn't want it. So you can only knock out the top 10 when they want to fight you. And now that your buddy Joshua has the titles again, he's saying he'll fight him. If you want to fight him, you lost. You lost miserably, too. Now you got your title back. Be the man to step up and call him out and say, I will come to Las Vegas or New York, whatever you want to. I will fight you. He act like it's the privilege to fight him. I mean, love or hate Wilder. Cool. Say what you want to. Even if you say he lost to Fury, he's knocking him out. They may not be in the top 10, but you're not scared of nobody. You don't hear him saying, I'm good. Nobody, name me one other dude in the heavyweight division that wants to fight Ortiz, please.
Right. So this is what I want to ask you now. Is I know Wilder, I saw an article today that says that Wilder has a problem with fighting Joshua in the UK.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with that or should, he
yeah,
should?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, because.
But
yeah,
if
I'm
you want to unify.
Man, come on, man. Can we be real? You my brother. I love you. You know that, right?
So, I'm listening.
I'm saying this. Deontay Wilder's 14-0-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
42, I'm sorry. Not 14. 42, I'm drinking. 42-0-1, all right? No losses. Joshua lost to a guy that was overweight, said he was eating cheeseburgers and was continued to be overweight, and would have had a chance to beat him a second time if he would have engaged. How in the world, after that subpar performance the first time, can you now expect Deontay Wilder to go overseas? Why? The money is in America. Everybody know that. Why you go over there so everybody can say that you weren't afraid? He's the champion. The money's in America. It's Vegas. The pay-per-view, the whole nine. It's like, it's almost as if they want to crown you because you went over and fought in England. You can't even watch the damn fight. The Zone. They are going to postpone it. Do something crazy. All I'm saying is, if Deontay Wilder, that
network's going to go under pretty soon. I predict that network's going to go under pretty soon.
But if he's the guy, why should he have to go overseas to fight this dude? Because he got the belts back? In what fashion you got them back? So my question is this, and I don't mean to answer a question with a question, but if Deontay Wilder knocks out Tyson Fury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does Deontay Wilder need to go to England to fight Anthony Joshua?
No, he doesn't. I agree. Okay. He doesn't.
Okay.
He does not.
Curious. I'm just curious. And why is that?
But here's where if I want those belts and I'm Deontay Wilder, my right hand works in England too. So if you want it there and you feel more comfortable there, good. I want you good and comfortable. Because I want those titles. I want to come to England, and like Adrian Broner says, steal your woman and take your belt. That's the mission. Because I want those belts. I want to unify. So if you have a problem coming to America, cool. I'll go to UK and I'll take your woman and I'll take those belts.
Can I say one thing? I'm gonna say this. That's
sure.
Why Adrian Broner is really so called semi-retired because he took that attitude. But the undefeated,
right,
true champion, Floyd Mayweather, said, I'm the A-side. I'm the A-side. Why would I want to go over there and fight you when I'm the A-side? You the B-side.
Right.
I'm the A-side. Deontay Wilder right now is the A-side because he'll fight anybody. Nobody wanted to fight Fury. He fought Fury. Joshua has been running from Fury forever. And he's complicated,
right.
He's crazy, he's unconventional, but he knows how to, he's slick, he's elusive. So, like Floyd said, if I'm the A-side, why in the hell am I going to go over here and play up for you and you the B-side? I don't blame him on that.
True.
I believe that, hey, if Josh really wanted, like my man said, and it might be true, man, I don't know if it's true or not, Wilder said, we offered him $50 million to come fight in America.
Yeah, he
$50 million.
He
would not do it.
Hmm.
Maybe.
All right.
Let's get off this.
Yeah, we fight about Deontay Wilder all the time. But Crawford's fighting this weekend.
I'm gonna bring him on
Crawford's
the show.
I'm
gonna get him on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah. Bring Wilder on the show.
Look. Then I'm gonna see what you're gonna say then.
Don't tell him where I live either. I'm gonna stand on what I believe. Can you be a better boxer? Can you be a better boxer? Can you use the jab? Can you be a boxer instead of a knockout artist? Because people are gonna be start looking after that right after you pulling that left. Come on, man.
Can I say one last thing? Give me two more minutes. Don't tell him where I live when I say this either. Give me 2 more minutes on this. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get off of this real quick. I said it to you before. I'll say it to you again. People were loving Mike Tyson because he was a knockout artist. Nobody could figure him out. He was small. Everybody liked him. He had power. You said he boxed. He dipped from side to side, hit you in your kidneys, and then break your jaw. People loved him for that. But then when he fought Buster Douglas,
he got exposed.
He got exposed, truthfully, right. He got exposed. He showed you that he wasn't as strong as most people thought, and there's no reason to be afraid of him if you could jab and punch. Mike Tyson never won a significant fight after Buster Douglas. And maybe Deontay Wilder may get exposed, But all I'm saying is, if you love Mike Tyson that much, you got to love Deontay Wilder just a little bit. Just a little bit.
But Deontay Wilder, he got exposed. I like, you know, he's a knockout artist. I never take that away from him. He's a knockout artist. He is knocking bums out, just like Ali said. He is doing that. But when you don't get that knockout and Tyson Fury exposed it, to me, and I would tell him to his face, I thought Tyson won that fight on point. But
that's
you got
fine.
That
that's
knockdown
one fight.
In the 11th. You got that knockdown in the 11th that got you a draw when actually the point said, no, you still lost that fight, bro. That was a 10-8 round. You still lost that fight.
All I'm saying is to you,
when the knockout ain't coming, what do you do to win? That's what I'm saying.
Tyson the same way.
That's all I'm
saying. How many decisions did Mike Tyson have? I'm waiting.
No, he didn't have too many. He didn't have too many at all. But I think
all I'm saying
he's going to run into that brick wall too.
Maybe. We're going to ride it till the end. All I'm saying is this. That he lost, supposedly lost one fight or he had to draw with one fight. Ask Ortiz, who everybody said was winning that fight. Ask Ortiz, is he easy man to walk away from and not get knocked out of? That's all I got.
Ortiz got greedy. Ortiz got greedy.
Hey.
He wanted the knockout. He wanted to go out in a blaze of glory and got stunned.
As my last quote on this is when Floyd Mayweather said it best, when you make a mistake, I will punish you.
Yeah. There you go. And he got punished. He got greedy. He left the chin out. He left the chin out. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do. He obliged. Crawford, I know that's your man. He's fighting this weekend. What can you say about this fight this weekend?
I'm not going to say it's too easy for him because he's going to come in like a professional. I think he should win hands down. Again, I've seen a lot of information about Crawford talking about his frustration with not being able to cross over and fight the fighters in the PBC camp with Al Haymon and those guys. And he is running out of opportunities. And you might want to say that other
you know
guys
what
scared
do.
Of him.
You know
break
what
away from
do.
Bob Arum. He got to break away from Bob Arum. He has to. He has to.
Yep.
And it's just what it is. But if he doesn't, then he's going to have to tell Bob Arum, I want to make this fight happen, similar to what Manny Pacquiao did when he wanted to fight Floyd. So Terrence Crawford is in control, but unfortunately there's really a lot going on over there on the other side where he's at with Top Rank. So I think he's getting tired. He's getting frustrated. He's running out of people to fight. And now it's just going to come down to you might want to start slow. Again, that starts with maybe somebody like what's our buddy from up in Akron? It just fought
Sean Porter.
Sean Porter, yeah. Sean Porter wants to fight. Sean Porter said, yeah, sign me up. I would love to fight Terrence Crawford. But that's still another crossover move. So at some point, if you want the real money, you got to come across the bridge.
Yeah, he has to do two things: get out of Bob Arum's camp, and he got to stop. He got to fight other than Nebraska. Somewhere else, you got to go to Vegas. You got to fight. You got to come out of Nebraska, bro. You got to come out of Nebraska. That's your home field. You got to come out of there if you want to fight the big fight. New York or Vegas.
Yeah, he will make the ride. Make the ride.
Yeah.
He will. It's
but
just
Bob
that,
Arum
but,
is like,
but it comes.
That's what Money May had to do.
Yeah.
And that's when his career took off. That's when he started making the money, when he left Bob Arum. And you got to think that maybe Mayweather's in his ear saying, bruh, like Ali said to, was it Pinkland? Thompson, I know John King robbing you.
Wow.
You got to get out of here. Whispered in his ear. And he said as soon as he got there, he lost the fight and got out of Don King, camp. And that's when, He started getting, he started making money. He's like, no, Don King robbing you. You got to lose to get out of this camp. So money may might be in Terrence Crawford ears. Like, listen, this is how I did it. This is what I know what he's doing to you. So come on, and you know what Shug Knight would say, come to death row.
Shit, that's the last thing place you want to be is death row. According to about Shug Knight, that's the last place you want to be.
All in your videos, all of it. Come to death row. Let's get to some questions. We had questions about a lot of the Russians, man. Man, this is their mantra is if you ain't cheap, you ain't trying. They're like the New England Patriots. They're a whole country of New England Patriots. They're threatening to boycott boxing. They've been banned from the, I think, the Winter Olympics because they just can't stop using the juice. So what are your thoughts about this, man?
They trying to win, man. I mean, what? Are you surprised?
You ain't cheating. You ain't trying.
I mean, what I find out, though, is they're pointing them out. Well, how many other people that we found out later on were cheating? You just hear that they're the one. They're getting caught beforehand. There are many athletes afterwards that are busted for using steroids or whatever they're using to get stronger or have better endurance, whatever. But it's just when it's Russia or USSR or whatever you want to call them, Soviet Union, when they're out there in front, so of course they get the headlines. We need to go down to everybody that tested positive and was kicked out, and let's start listing all the countries. I mean, you would actually be surprised by who you will find on that list.
To me, it's kind of funny, Ice, because, well, not funny in a ha-ha way, but they cheat in politics. They cheat on the world stage. They even cheat in our country. I mean, they got their hands in everything. And it's like they get caught all the time. Why do people even deal with this country? So, for me, if the boxers say, oh, we're going to boycott, so what? Who cares?
You know what it's like.
You're always getting caught cheating.
You know what it's like, though. Mm-mm. If Russia's not in the Olympics.
What do you mean?
They didn't come to the 84 Olympics. Remember that, right?
No. Uh-huh.
They weren't the same. What's that you said that put a asterisk on the Olympics?
Yeah.
When the Russians are not there, for America, it's just a different Olympics. It's like you have nobody to go against, especially in the Summer Olympics. Winter's different, but summer, it just doesn't get the respect if Russia's not there. They should let them all in.
Just let them all in.
Yeah, they cheating anyway. They cheating us.
Drugs
and
all.
They caught. Baseball, cheating. Talk about it. Sketch them in 8 years.
Is there no more integrity in sports, man? The best man wins.
It's not.
No drugs. No.
No
juice.
No.
Come on,
no.
Man.
No. No. No, it's not. Somebody cheat. You ain't saying you got to cheat, but you should not be surprised. Like they
so somebody videotaping. Somebody deflating football. Somebody using the juice. Somebody doing something, huh? God.
It's like this. It's like James Chappelle said it best. He said, I won't call you a whore, but you damn sure wearing a whore's uniform.
All right, you got a question?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, my question to you is, what do you think about we just put that up on the reality of sports, about the NCAA, Mark Emmert talking about there's probably going to need to be federal legislation to clarify how amateur athletes are paid for their likeness and their image. That's a hot topic right now that really, like, is going to happen soon.
Wow. I would have to see how they would kind of get involved with that. How it's done, because once the government gets into it, it could be some funny things happening. Like James said, that man comes from some funny places. So I have to see how the feds would get in and try to regulate it in order to say yay or nay to it. Because if it's still to a point where the athletes are still getting shortchanged out of this, and now the government got their, you know, getting their beak wet with this, then I'm going to have problems with it. But if it's fair and equitable to the players, then you know, I want to look in and see how it's going to help these players and not make them indentured servants as they are right now. So what's your thoughts to it?
Yeah, I think it's the right way to go. I mean, you and Black Thor mentioned earlier about this, about it going bill being passed in New York. My thing is, though, if you want to make this happen with the legislation, it has to move forward. We need some guidelines, and which means some people are going to be upset because this is not going to let everybody get paid. The top revenue generators are going to get the money, the larger amounts. And that's the way the laws are going to have to be written. So you might have to improve your game, and then might piss some people off. But it's not. This is not about everybody getting paid. This is about individuals who are able to use their likeness and their fame to make money and receive benefits because of the accomplishments on the court. But I think they're heading in the right direction.
Okay. Question I have real quick is Kevin Love, he's on the chopping block. He's on the trading block. And what team would benefit by having a Kevin Love? Who should trade for him? Who should he go to?
See, that's hard because I don't know what Kevin Love is going to show up. It's hard for me. Yeah, I mean, what is he doing in Cleveland right now?
Right.
Kevin Love, is he magically going to appear to be the Kevin Love of old? I think an interesting point would be maybe send him back to Minnesota.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just saying, it'd be a feel-good story. He's been there before. But are you going to slide him in? The Clippers don't need him. Lakers don't need him. What's he going to do with the Lakers? He fell off before with LeBron. So, I mean, what? I guess my point is, maybe do you send him to Boston, or do you already have him in Hayward? So I guess my question is, first of all, what kind of shape is he in? What kind of player is he in? Is he Carmelo Anthony? Is he better than that? I'm just curious about that. When you ask me that, those are the two things that stick out in my mind. What kind of player is he going to be for my team?
Yeah. Talk about LeBron James ruining somebody's career. I mean, Kevin Love was the hot topic and the hot player that everybody really wanted a piece of, and got to Cleveland and played second, not even second fiddle, third or fourth fiddle to LeBron James, and never was the same. But I'm looking at teams like OKC. You got CP3 over there who could really kind of – he's the leader over there. And maybe he could work with Kevin Love. You got maybe Portland, who could use another PF or a power forward that could shoot and could give him some minutes off the bench, especially for playoff time. But it's really kind of slim pickings. Don't want to see him with the Knicks. There was a great article that ESPN put up about the Knicks and how they really kind of Dolan's kind of messed that organization up, and I just sent you a video of old boy who's talking about the same thing we've been talking about for years about not boycotting, but stop going to Knicks games. But I think you know, there are very few teams, not the teams like you know, the Lakers, Milwaukee, maybe Milwaukee, I don't know, but teams that could use somebody coming off the bench that can give them some minutes, that can give them some points off that power forward position. And, you know, cause I still think Kevin Love has something left, but he's not one of those, the star player that we all thought he was. But, man, he was like one of the players that was a hot commodity at one time that everybody wanted. Yeah. Now nobody really wants to touch him anymore. But he may have where he doesn't have to be the man, but can find his place and come back strong. So I think
yeah,
that there might be room
for him. He's averaging 15-10
yeah.
with Cleveland.
Yeah, so I think a team could use that, especially a playoff team that could use that, you know, coming off the bench or, you know, if their starter gets hurt, to put him in and let him, you know, play that time until the starter comes back. But I think he could do it. I think Portland could, you know, look at what they're doing with Carmelo Anthony. So I definitely think he could do something over there with Portland. All right, we got about 5 minutes left, man. You got another question?
No, I just want to talk. I got a question. We need to talk about the one since we only got 5 minutes left. I told y'all I was going to bring you back to that.
All right. We're back to the one.
See, I think when we talk about this funk, I think I said, let me throw him a little curveball, throw a little Static in the Attic by Chris Stan ring. Throw a little something different on you. Or some Cool in the Gang NT parts 1 and 2. I was like, I'm going to have to go
yeah.
deep because he's coming for me. And I was like, you got to go even deeper because he's trying to come with some things. So I'm going to have to throw some things like on that Average White Band, Person to Person, some Curtis Wakefield,
yeah.
Kung Fu, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, or that, or Are You Single?
Yeah.
Huh?
I've been trying to. I know in a few. I'm gonna put some European funk bands that I got to know when I was over there. That might blow your wig a little bit. Because I don't just want to kind of focus on funk here in the United States. There's some funky bands and funky records that never got to play here in the United States that are definitely on that one. So I gotta get one of my boys, Soul Greg. From, I believe, Austria, that I used to play his music years ago, and some funky bands out of there. I know I put a little bit of a Jamiroquai and Level 42, but we got to go funkier than that. But getting a lot of great response from that, man. And pretty soon we'll put a show together. We'll put a show together and talk about some of the funk shows. I've been putting the animated series, the Mike Jones Tour Bus series, telling
uh-huh.
some of the stories of some of these artists, and they're hilarious. And I've been getting some positive response from that. If you haven't seen the Mike Jones tour bus animation on Cinemax, it's a must-see series on some of the artists, not only funk artists, but country artists, rock and roll artists. They do a great series on Prince and Rick James, and I'll be posting up some of the clips off of that. In that rivalry, trying to be the funk. But there was one particular one that they talk about real quick, how James transferred the one to Bootsy and Bootsy to George Clinton. And George Clinton kind of just made it psychedelic, the one. And so it's been interesting. It keeps me up at night, man, but it's a fun way to keep me up because I love music. I'm always listening to it. And I'm always checking the page. And when Ice puts up something, I'm like, oh, man, this is great. This is great. Oh,
Look, like I told you, you better bring it. Them overseas bands better come with it because I dropped that instant funk on you, you know. The instant funk. That Sun is here, GQ Disco Nights. You know,
oh, yeah.
So a lot of, yeah, so, you know, and I even threw a little some trouble funk on you, you know.
Yeah, we're going to get to the local bands, too. The local bands out of Detroit, Chicago, Dayton, all over. So we're going to get to some if you haven't checked it out, it's called The One on Facebook, and you'll see some videos and hear some tunes on there. We got to get out of here. There's about 60 seconds left. But always, if you missed any part of the show, log in to Blog Talk Radio. And this is the Boom Squad Sports Radio Show. And check our show out on YouTube, The First 40, the Boom Squad Sports Radio Podcast, The First 40. We will talk to you next week. Take care.